Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray calls, have a yarn, you mob. I'm going to catch up with Deadly Sister, Kobe Edgar, who's the Art Gallery of New South Wales curator, and talk about the photographer Mervyn Bishop to be celebrated by New Canberra Exhibition. On the line, Kobe, good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really great. How are you going today?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I'm a Larrakia Jingly woman from Darwin. My last name's Edgar. My grandfather's from WA, but my grandmother's a Kibolo. So I don't know if you mob know Kibolos, but we seem to be everywhere.
Yes, exactly. That's like a Smith Black version. That's all, isn't it?
Yeah, basically.
Too deadly. So listen, you're the curator there, Art Gallery of New South Wales, and look, fantastic. We were at an exhibition for photographer Mervyn Bishop, who's got a fantastic story in regard to his life as a photographer. Reading here, he was one of the first Aboriginal photographers to work with a Metropolitan Daily newspaper, and one of the first to become a professional photographer. So a fantastic exhibition, the story of a deadly clicker, you could say.
Yeah, and Danny's uncle has been, he's been practicing photography for about 60 years now, and starting off at the Sydney Morning Herald as a cadet back in the early 60s, and all the way up until today where he's still photographing elders and communities, especially around his hometown of Dubbo.
Fantastic. And so when you're, as a curator, when you're organising an exhibition as such, how did Mervyn Bishop's, his work come into your mind? Said, hey, let's do an exhibition. How does all that work?
Well, actually what happened is we ended up housing his archive. So Uncle's got a massive archive of over 8,000 images of mob from all over the country. Mm. And they now live at the art gallery. So we wanted to showcase some of the images that mob have never seen before.
Yes.
And just show the breadth and depth of this man's practice. He, you know, started off as a press photographer, and then he worked for the Department of Aboriginal Affairs and flew around photographing mob in communities and their housing. And, you know, he's photographed Uncle Lionel Rose and Aunty Lewitcher, O'Donoghue and Idri Nunnicull, and you name it.
Yes, fantastic. And so what happens? Do you get in touch with the artist as such and say, hey, this is what we're going to do? And how did Uncle Merv receive that?
Yeah, so we work with living artists. We work directly with them, and we co-curate it basically with them. So we have about 24 collection works that were already printed and ready to be displayed. So we just display those, and then we troll through the archives with him to pick some of our favourite images from his career. And then Uncle, yeah, he helps with everything, including the, you know, choosing the colour of the wall. As a black curator, I like to make sure that my artists have as much control over the way that they're represented as they possibly can.
Yes.
It also makes my life a lot easier because then, you know, I'm getting to understand them and their aesthetic and how they like their work to be framed. And I don't have to think up all those things because usually they know what they want, you know?
Exactly. A case of walking a mile in his shoes, so to speak, yeah.
Yeah, well, the brilliant thing about Uncle Merv is he's like a walking encyclopedia.
Yes.
He can tell you a lot about every single one of his photographs, and usually you get like a quirky story about how that photograph came to be. So he's just like, he is a walking encyclopedia of all of these people that he's met over his entire career, and they're fascinating stories about people's family and mob and political activism and the whole kit and caboodle, really.
Exactly. And when we talk about he was the first Aboriginal photographer to be working with a Metropolitan newspaper, I mean, that's a mark in itself. And going back in those times, I mean, racism would have been strong, but he got in there and being a professional did the job.
He did. He was a professional. He did the job. He did it really well. His printmaking is amazing, you know, working in a dark room for most of his early career.
Yeah.
And he was successful because he worked hard and he honed his skills, and that's why he's such an amazing photographer. But you're completely right. You know, going through a lot of the National Film and Sound Archive material with the co-curator of this particular iteration, Tara, you could really see and feel, you know, the difference in language, the difference in culture, and I don't know how their mum did it, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
I'm only 30 years old, and, you know, uncle's been practicing as a photographer for 60 years, and I just was extremely humbled by the amount of work that Mob have done to pave the way so young Mob like myself can say and do what we want to do and, you know, not be filtered.
Yeah, stand on the shoulders of giants. That's what it's all about. Look, fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. The exhibition itself, so when does it run and how long does it run for?
It's on from today and it runs up until, I believe, like the 1st of August, which is amazing. So if you can get down to Canberra and have a look, then please do. I'm sure Uncle would love, you might see someone you know, actually.
Exactly, yeah, catch up with Mob, especially the Mob owe you money, be good to catch up with them, Mob. But it's about time. Look, a lot of Mob got to go to Canberra, you know, for meetings as such, you know, especially if they're working for a government organisation. So, look, there's an opportunity to jump in to the exhibition and see Uncle Merv's work in action there. So thank you very much, yeah, my sister. Good yarning with you. Keep doing what you're doing. And, yeah, married to the gallery, you're doing a fantastic job. And a big shout-out to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, sis.
Thank you so much. Hope you all have a beautiful day then, hey?
Mark. Okay. Bye-bye. Adela Yarn there, that's Kobe Edgar, her name is. She's a curator, Art Gallery of New South Wales. And look, talking about the fantastic new Canberra exhibition for Uncle Mervyn Bishop, photographer. And he was one of the first professional photographers, Aboriginal photographers, and the first Aboriginal photographer to work for a metropolitan newspaper. So beautiful work there, over 50-odd years. So if you're down in Canberra, go check out the exhibition and see his fantastic work. Take a snapshot, you mob, too deadly. Have you say Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, that daily number 1-800-422-416.
Oh, Mob, it's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I'd like to sing a lullaby for you. It's a beautiful song. I traveled amongst many different Aboriginal tribes.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Don't make no difference what I do, can't seem to make the grade. Either I get drunk or locked in jail. I wonder what it is that turns my motor on. Always seem like this time to just fail. Surely there must be another side to what I see. Makes me live like this without a clue. Ah, how come I'm so hopeless when it comes to preservation? I wish a magic wand would wave me through. And do you think that there's a chance that I might find redemption? Think that there's a chance that I won't stray? I've got to find the path that leads to my salvation. Don't want the Ganges has taken me away. Don't want the Ganges has taken me away. Don't want the Ganges has taken me away. When I look at our people and the way they stood real proud, can't say today we follow in that style. We're a stolen generation with a white man's point of view. I think I'll have to reconcile a while. Yeah, looking in the mirror, I feel as if I'm no good. Just waiting for the sun to rise and break. I don't know what I'm waiting for. Maybe I disguise another drink, another big mistake. So do you think that there's a chance that I might find redemption? You think that there's a chance that I won't stray? I've got to find the path that leads to my salvation. Don't want the Ganges taking me away. Don't want the Ganges taking me away. Don't want the boogeyman taking me away. Dying and too many people sad, too many people hoping for a change. I'll have to make it happen and get it off the ground. Don't want to always be the one that's strange. And I don't want my little kids there standing at my side saying land rights when they put me in the ground. I think I'll have to rethink my present attitude, 'cause I am the land and always been around. Do you think that there's a chance that I might find redemption? Think that there's a chance that I won't stray? I've got to find the path that leads to my salvation. Don't want the Ganges taken me away. Don't want the Ganges taken me away.
Mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, First Nation man here in Cairns, Queensland, North Queensland, with your daily program, National Talk Black, from the First Nation radio station, Bumabibra Media, BBM 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, the big nation of Australia, and sharing our stories and our yarns. We're going to catch up with a yarn now with Stacey Aglog-McDonald, who's the producer of the movie The Grizzlies, an Australian premiere. First Nations actors tell inspiring true story, and talking about First Nation people in Canada, and see the similarities and the problems that we face as First Nation people in Australia. On the line we have Stacey. Stacey, very good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm very good, thank you.
Thank you very much coming to the program. Before we start, Stacey, we say here in Australia, who your mob, where you're from. Who's Stacey Aglog-McDonald, please, sister?
Yes, my name is Stacey Aglog-McDonald. I'm from Kogloktok, Nunavut, which is a tiny community of about 1,200, it's a village of about 1,200 people, Inuit, mainly Inuit, and it's the only way you can get to the community is by airplane. We don't have roads connecting or anything like that. So it's very isolated. And the story of the Grizzlies is actually from my home community of Kuklukduk, where I grew up and spent most of my life.
So you're a producer and director.
My family is all still there.
Beautiful. So you're a producer and director.
I'm the producer.
Yep, and so the Grizzlies. So you're virtually telling the story of your people and living in an isolated world, but also with the non-Indigenous people coming to our shores and taking over our country, and colonization has affected your mob just like it has our mob here in Australia.
Yeah, it's been challenging, especially. There has been so much historical trauma from the colonization of our land. One of the biggest devastations were residential schools, what we call residential schools here in Canada, where children were stolen and brought to these schools where they were, beaten if they spoke their language. And the whole point of residential schools was to make them less Inuk or less Native, and then they would send them back at the end of the residential school when they're 16 years old, so they'd be there from age 6 to 16, and then once they're done school, they send them back home to their communities. But then what that did was it left such a such a traumatizing gap between families, like parents and grandparents, who couldn't speak English, but the children could no longer speak their own language, loss of culture and hunting skills that, made people feel important and proud to be contributing members of their communities, whether it be by hunting or the creation of clothing and keeping each other warm and feeding each other. So there was a lot of breakdown, and the trauma of residential schools, and the last one in Canada actually only closed in 1996. So it wasn't that long ago, and so there's still a lot of trauma from that time. So what the Grizzlies movie is about is really about these young kids in a community, in an isolated community, who are really struggling with a lot of the effects of colonialism. And so there's a lot of problems in the community, drinking and poverty, alcoholism, poverty, lack of access to any kind of information or health, mental health. And these kids are introduced to the sport of lacrosse. And through lacrosse, they really they bond with each other and with their community in a way that they've never had before. And it really strengthened them and brought the community into a much better place than it was before.
And so, Stacey, I look at the work that you do as a producer and director and using that vehicle to tell the story of First Nation people in Canada and how colonization has affected them, like, as I mentioned, generational trauma. And I got goosebumps here because it's the same here in Australia with our First Nation people. And look, telling the story, the truth need to be told, and using the vehicle as in producing a film is the vehicle you're using to tell your story about your people. Yep.
Yeah. It was a hard process because it took us 10 years to make it. Unfortunately, it's getting better, but when we started this, I guess it was 11 years ago now, this film and trying to make it, the landscape was very different, and people still weren't really wanting to fund movies where, all the kids were non-professional actors it wasn't a movie filled with big stars. So that was hard, but we didn't stop trying, and we, with great effort, were able to make it, and we shot it. People were telling us to shoot it in the south. It's too expensive to shoot, film it in the Arctic because it's all fly-in, there's no road. But we managed to do it all, which sometimes surprises me. But because we committed so with our hearts to doing it as best as we could and as real as we could, that the movie does feel really authentic and true. And I think that what made it so powerful and what's made it so powerful for so many people is that when they watch it, they can feel that.
See, so when you look at it, it's like the phrase, when the dream is big enough, the facts don't count. And thanks to technology, it came to fruition and it came to life, and which is so powerful, and the story needs to be told. And I congratulate you. Let's quickly talk about the cast. So a lot of the cast were the local people there who were not actors, but are now actors now in regarding telling the story and the true story, yes?
Yeah, all of them were, or almost all of them were, like, first-time actors. They were all in school. We just, like, had kids and teachers and just anybody submitting auditions. And I'm just, like, I'm so proud of all of the young actors. Actually, my my little sister, I didn't even know she auditioned, and she did, and she ended up getting a part in the movie. She plays Miranda, one of the main girl, which I was completely surprised by. I was like, you go to
you go, girl!
When did that happen? Okay. Yeah. But they were just so brilliant and
yes.
powerful and
yes.
so proud of them and moved by them. And they worked really, really hard, and we tried to make it as safe as possible because,
exactly,
you know, they're telling this story of this community, but it's all stuff that they themselves have also experienced. So we were really careful about what, like we're filming these scenes and sometimes it's very sad, and how do we not trigger the young kids that we're working with, because again, they've experienced all of it. They've lost friends to suicide, they've lost family
yes.
members to like tragic circumstances, all due to colonization and all of that stuff. So we were really, really mindful of that, and we really tried to make it a safe space for all of them, and talked through it a lot, and whenever we needed to have mental health workers on set, just so that we could, you know, we were really, really careful about
yes.
wanting to make sure that it was a safe space for everybody, especially since it was such a sometimes difficult subject matter.
And so true. And look, to tell, to relive the stories, the past stories and the hurt and the trauma that that we all go through and that your mob went through. But I also see it as a beautiful medicine in regard to healing the wounds, but also inspiring the young ones and the community that wherever you are on planet Earth, you can be and do whatever you want to do. Yeah, if, like I said, if the dream is big enough, the facts don't count, and success breeds success. So it's a powerful vehicle that you've used, and more power to you, my sister.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think so much of it sometimes is at least knowing what happened so that we can talk about it. Because, I mean, I grew up myself, like, my mom was a residential school survivor, and I knew she went to residential school, but I didn't, nobody, like, people weren't talking about it, like, the
yes.
Western education system definitely wasn't telling us about it or admitting their faults or anything like that. So we grow up not knowing why we're suffering the way we are. But as soon as we start talking about it with each other and like sharing our experiences, we might not know how to fix it right away, but at least identifying it and talking about it is such a healing experience, because at least you don't just walk around not knowing why. You know, if we can start to answer the why, then we can figure out how to fix it.
So true. And the old saying, if you know the problem, you admit to the problem, yes, you can fix it. And we need to get it yes. together. And that's exactly what you're doing, using the vehicle as a film. So it is so fantastic, Deadly. And I urge all the mob here in Australia and around the world, thanks to technology in radio app, you can hear the yarn and hear the story, that the movie Grizzlies is out and about, Australian premiere, First Nation actors telling an inspiring true story. There's a situation there. I get the mob to Google the trailer and then watch the movie, The Grizzlies, and there's a story there, well, a snippet there, where the young fella, the teacher's jogging, and the fella comes along, the elder comes along on the ATV, and he says, do you want a lift? He says, no, I'm just running. And he turned around, looked behind him, he said, From who? And which is how black people of the world, we are running yeah. from somebody, aren't we?
yeah.
So
yeah,
funny.
That's one of my favorite.
Brother, who are you running from?
Yeah, it's so cool that it's there. I can't believe it. I can't believe that our movie is made all the way to Australia.
Yes.
And it's going to be there. My mind is blown.
and you tell your mob, you tell your family, you tell your sister that we, the black people of Australia, the first people of the first people, are empowered. And yeah, we similarities, stories, the stories are very similar. And it empowers us as well to rise to above colonization, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a well-known film, but like years ago, like in the early 2000s, I watched this movie called The Rabbit Proof Fence.
Yes.
And I remember it so well because I just remember sitting in this tiny little theater in Ottawa in southern Canada, and I knew so little about what happened in Australia with Indigenous people.
Yes.
And to sit there and learn and see how similar it was, I was just heartbroken, but also like felt less alone, sort of thing, you know?
Exactly.
So I think that sharing our stories is definitely a way to help connect us all so that we can all be there for each other and have each other's backs.
Exactly, my sister. So true. And to all the First Nation people across this beautiful globe, you know, like I said, we are all in the same race, and we will rise. And our ancestors are strong in spirit with us. So the future looks bright, but we will continue on, resilient people we are, yes?
Yes, 100%.
It's so deadly talking with you. We say deadly because it's a powerful word. And Stacey, thank you very much for sharing. And to all Australians, to all mob, especially our mob, to check out the Grizzlies, check out the trailer, check out the movie. And Stacey Aglog McDonald, you are too deadly. You are up there, my sister. Big shout out to all your mob there in Canada. And success breeds success, yes. My sister. Thank you for sharing.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Have a good morning and day.
You take care. Bye, sister. A beautiful yarn there. Stacey Aglog McDonald, her name is. First Nation woman from Canada, in the far north of Canada, in the Icelands, and in her movie story called The Grizzlies. Australian premier, First Nation actors tell an inspiring true story. The Hollywood Reporter states, brazenly sentimental and transcendently moving. And also from Variety, exactly the type of uplifting movie that could boost spirits during these bleak times. So I want you all to check it out on YouTube. Check out the trailer. It's called The Grizzlies. A very powerful story, and watch the movie. And we as First Nation people in this country, Australia, as the first people of the first people, will relate so much in regard to generational trauma, but rising above it and becoming the best that we can become. And we are strong in spirit because of our ancestors. Stay tuned. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry. I'm your host for the daily program, National Talk Black, and ready for your yarn here on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM, Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to News, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
I'm gonna make it. Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yeah, too daily. Drive it like you stole it. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the bully on Trevor Tim Trinity Trev. Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BB and Bumba Rip Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray callers, have a yarn. We're going to catch on there with TG Tony Gibbs on the line. Very good morning, brother.
Good morning.
How are you, Tony?
Well, I'm sort of sitting here shaking, mate. Just got a bit to say. I talked the other day about Cairns Base. I can't go into the Cairns Hospital and chase things up because of we've got his...
You there?
Yeah, there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Tony, go ahead. Yeah.
Specifically, what I wanted to say is if it wouldn't have been for the Oprah Winfrey in America, a black reporter,
yes,
taking the complaints of the royals, it wouldn't have come out, you know. They could all that in England, and I'm specifically...
Well, what they said, it took a black journo like Oprah to do the interview, but also took a black man to give accommodation for the... I was going to say prince and princess, but they're no longer that title.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that just shows you. Harry and Meghan, on their own, they should be happy to have their freedom, and they can't have everything. No one can. They have the money. If they took that title away, and it just shows how vindictive and malicious they are. And the claims of racism against the royals. I want to jump to a bigger stage, and I believe that this show has, you have the same power as Oprah, and I want to direct this. Because I'm English, still, I've been here 60 years, married to an Aboriginal woman for nearly 40 years.
Yeah.
The main thing for racism, how can they deny that the Queen has never said sorry to the Aboriginal people or acknowledged the people? And I think we've just passed 500 Aboriginal deaths in custody.
Mm. Let alone what would the colour of the baby be?
Yeah,
that's just, I mean, it's just to be expected. On
the main national government show the other night, and I said, well, what they call the advice.
You there? You're breaking up, mate.
Yeah, and I'm going to go into a better place.
Yeah, please.
And the Crown, what I said, that they should replace the Union Jack and cross the Union Jack out and put a little word up there, the firm, and take the...
Yeah, the firm, that's the description, the firm.
Because it's a business, you know.
It is.
I said they should put the firm, right firm there instead of the Union Jack, and the stars, they can replace them with dollar signs, you know, in the shape of the Southern Cross or whatever. But... the British press need to get past this royal thing. We know of racism, and I see that it's divided.
Well, it looks like Piers Morgan hasn't gone past it.
Piers Morgan, he's the shock jock, was he?
He had his own TV show, and he walked off show and then resigned after he was approached by the weatherman in regard to his racist remarks.
I listened to the comments on the main government national show, and it sort of turned into a Lindy Chamberlain attack on me, the Australian way. There is so much wrong in this country, and there's more to racism than Megan and Harry. There's the Aboriginal people here.
Well, as they say, Tony, build a bridge, get over it.
Yeah, well, we're trying to build a bridge now, you know. I've been on the show for 20 years, you know, now, and the white press here is just will not do the job, you know. This is Queensland. Queensland, and so...
Queensland. You emphasise it. Queensland.
This is Murrayland. This is Aboriginal land. There's no treaty in this country. Can't the British press get hold of the fact that the war has been declared on this country by the arrival of Cook?
Well, and when you look at the Commonwealth, all the Commonwealth countries... have First Nations people in those countries.
The world goes to the crown, doesn't it? I mean, you imagine all the land in Australia that has been sold. Now, who gets the money?
Exactly. I'll go to the next caller, my friend, but thank you for calling in. That's Tony Gibbs there, having his say. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Give the Murray call, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We're going across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. I believe we've got Greg on the line. Hello, Greg. You there, Greg?
Yeah, Trendy Trev, how are you?
Good morning, brother. How are you going?
Yeah, good, good.
Excellent.
See, we got some controversy in the news at the moment, don't we?
Oh, big time, but nothing new for black people.
yeah. Well, for white people too.
Well, there you go, brother. Have your say. What you yarning about, brother?
Well, I heard the news report this morning in regard to South Australia and exploration of resources, etc. Now, the biggest problem we got in this country, well, across the world, is that we have a spiritual war going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a country that's come over supposedly Christian, but don't act like it. And then we have a people here that never known Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you go biblically and you look in the Bible says that the earth is the God's and the fullness thereof. So whoever supports God and the Bible is the one that's going to win. This is my point of view, and
sure,
it's open for argument, of course.
Yep.
But it sounds like we might have disconnected already.
Can you hear me?
Let you know that's where the battle is, and, you know, in unity is how it all pans out. And so... you know, Easter's coming, Jesus is Lord. If we don't believe in Jesus, we're going to hell forever. I'm taking the bet, I'm going to heaven. I read about hell, ain't going there. And I encourage everybody else to go to heaven. Anyway, Trendy, thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. That's Greg. Greg, I can hear you. You couldn't hear me. And radio loud in the background. You can probably hear yourself too there, brother. But thanks for the call. Daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. And I believe we've got Brother Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother. You always say, pardon the pun. But I'll get on to that soon. It's not all black and white with this Megan show, brother, but I'll get on to that soon. I'll give you my take.
Mm.
But thank you very much, brother, for putting Brother Bobby McLeod on.
Yes.
And he passed on now. And I shared monkey blood with him, brother, way back in 1974. I was 19 then, brother, but he straightened out his life.
Yes.
Our Brother Bobby McLeod, thinking about the Ganges, there, brother. I enjoyed that. Brother, on the stuff that Tony was just talking about the freedom, I agree, and it's intellectual elitism, and it's not just all black and white. You can just got to look at the way they treated Lady Di, brother. And
exactly.
All waiting even in Australia, it's not all black and white. All waiting in the wings to watch the rules go down are the Republicans. of the Republican. They like to see Australia become a republic. And I like to think, like, with all this royalty money from mining, you know, was that going to go to when that happens, brother? But yeah, the way they treated Dye, brothers, so like I say, brothers, not all black and white. And if this place does become a republic, well, look, another mob was waiting in the wings. Not so much other Irish Australian, because there's Northern Ireland and Irish Republic, because they're Republican Ireland. And I think the US, they broke off from England a long time ago, brother, and they're independent too. But yeah, it's not all black and white, brother. I want to cut to the chase on this other one, brother, before we finish. You know, the Sheila from the LNP, I forgot her name, Linda Reynolds. She's out on stress leave, brother, and that's stress leave.
The defence minister,
Is she torn between a rock and a hard place? Meaning that she's a woman and towing the party line, or acknowledging her humanity as a woman. Because
Good point.
Brother. And with her loyalty, it's cut between, you know, like towing the party line or your loyalty to women, because they're going to the toxic environment down there. And just going to look at Julia Gillard, and she pointed to Tony Abbott, and I won't be lectured by this man, and that Alan Jones gets to witch and all that kind of stuff, you know, the treatment of women and in both parties. And I look at that, and I say to myself, like I said, is it because of loyalty to a humanity?
Yeah.
And towed the party line. And that's where I'd like to come back to what happened up at Cook down here, brother. And Uncle Eric DeRally was a National Party person, brother. And I feel that, Alberta used to work with him, and of course, pushing all that is the daughter, Erica. And it's not so much being against all of their people, because all of obviously we've got their own opinion too as well, but it's the toss between the loyalty between, because I reckon LNP, like in Warren Ridge, I reckon they're exploiting our people, making us divide and rule, as they say. And to think of it as such, you know, because it's a government push, because he's an LNP bloke, Warren Ridge, and so I think like, when all the stuff on the 80s was watching under the Act, being smashed the Act, and all that protest down in Canberra, and all the other stuff that was going on, even with people up there fighting for land, I think Uncle Eric was sort of, he had to toe the party line, on the, asked with his loyalty to his to our people, to our people, humanity, similar to what Lindy Reynolds was going through, brother. Now, thank you very much, brother, for my little...
Yeah, thank you, my brother. Beautiful. Made some very good points there. Thank you, Selwyn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to a time where Murray got a sign-off here. Thank you very much for your company, Mob. Love enjoying doing the show and sharing with you, Mob, and getting calls as well and adding to the conversation here on National Talk Black, live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 99.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. So have your saying, Jan Armstrong, 1-800-422-416. You have to do that tomorrow, you Mob. Be in the hot seat, but 24/7, you can text the brother 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, to Deadly Mob, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic. Vaccines are being handed out and open for Mob to take the vaccine. It is your choice and it's not compulsory. Do what you need to do to protect yourself, protect your family. Have a talk to your First Nation health organisations or your GP. To Deadly Mob.
Talking about treaty, but us flat divided, we must unite as one. One Burma, but many tribes, we fought. We are the yellow, black, and red. And we mustn't let people dictate with all different kind of legislations. No way, no, no. Essentially, I envisage united black nations, that's what we must achieve. Before we go sell ourselves cheap for the greed and hunger of the Ghana, Bama fighting Bama, we must be smarter and come as one. Let's advance our black Australia, we've got to fight now for our rights. And if we want the rights, we must unite first together.
has won. Our voices will be stronger as one, and better this stands for our children. We must be strong now, and don't you dare be ashamed. You're a Black Australia.